Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm excited about today's lesson, Living the Gospel. It's part of our series, The Least of These, Ministering to Those in Need. And really what God's calling for is His followers to live the gospel in these last days of Earth's history. So I'm glad you're with us and good to see the team together. It's a great series, isn't it?
Yes.
And now we're going to be challenged again. You said, Derek, I'm already living the gospel. Well, let's see what we're challenged with today, because I think God wants to move us to another level of commitment, radical level of discipleship. We're glad that you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Wherever you are around the world, we know of 150 countries, but we're always happy to hear again from you. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. Debbie writes from Papua New Guinea and says, I'm writing all the way from PNG. I love Hope Sabbath School. It's a wonderful program to watch and learn more about Jesus.
Amen.
You see, if you learn the scriptures, Jesus said, but you don't come to Him, what good is that?
Right.
Come to Jesus, find Him. So thank you for reminding us, Debbie. Thank you, Hope Sabbath School team. May God bless you all. We say blessings back to you there in Papua New Guinea. Vernon writes from Zambia. We have a lot of Hope Sabbath School members there. I am Vernon from Lusaka. I want to thank you for the good work you're doing. Your lessons are inspiring. I follow them daily. Well, you may be watching our Daily Hope program as well as our weekly study, and we're just glad that you're involved in an in-depth study of the Word of God. Kusi writes from Ghana. We have some Ghanaians on our team, don't we, but not with us today. My name is Kusi. I was really touched by the program. I just happened to know yesterday when I switched on my TV and changed to Hope Channel, I believe it was the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
People, that happens all the time. People say, well, I just found your program. It could be by accident, or it could be the Holy Spirit leading people. In fact, from the beginning to the end of the program, I was touched in a deeper way. Amen.
Amen.
I was impressed about the revelation and insight I had from the study. The Holy Spirit, the Word, and prayer.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you. May He keep doing a good work through you and your team. Well, Kusi, we're encouraged to see how the Holy Spirit led you. We encourage you to stay with us as part of our Hope Sabbath School team there in Ghana. Here's a note from a donor. We're enclosing a small donation for Hope Sabbath School. We were not aware until recently that it was a donor-supported ministry. Actually, we're all part of the team together, aren't we? We start every Sabbath morning watching Hope Sabbath School, and what a blessing to us. God bless you all, and a donation of $1,000.
Wow.
So thank you for being part of the team.
Yes,
yes, all the way from South Dakota in the United States of America. We're glad that you're blessed. One last note. I believe it's from the United States, but I don't have a specific location. Teresa writes and says, I enjoy and appreciate Hope Sabbath School on a weekly basis. What a treat it is to have familiar faces on the panel, like Stephanie. Wave, Stephanie. All right, we'll do a wave there. Because Jason. All right, Jason, we got a wave from Jason. Gladys. Okay. Well, the rest of you are gone. By the way, people may think we just have 12 on the team, but actually we have, what, about 30? Maybe 35 on the team. And people come different times. Great to have some of you back that haven't been with us for a while. And it's good to have you with us today, too, on our Hope Sabbath School. And we need your help right now to sing our theme song. I've really come to appreciate the text in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 5 and 16. It says, now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. And I believe as we talk about living the gospel, that when the love of God fills our hearts, it will transform the way we live. Let's sing our theme song together.
Now may the Lord direct your hearts
into the love of God, and may the Lord direct your hearts into the patience of Christ. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and everywhere. The Lord be with you all. Amen.
You know, I was thinking maybe we go into a situation in this coming week, and it could be quite challenging, and the Spirit will bring that word to our remembrance. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into
the
love of God, to live the gospel, to live the gospel. Let's pray as we study that God will bless. In Jesus' name we pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. We thank you most of all for Jesus, the living word, who came to reveal the fullness of the character of God. And I pray that as we study about living the gospel, particularly as it relates to ministering to those in need, that you would not only teach us by your word through your Spirit, but that our lives would be transformed to live what we learn.
Yes.
Is our prayer in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Well, most people have not read recently from the book of Malachi. It's the last book of the Hebrew Scriptures. But there is one key insight as we begin our study on living the gospel that I'd like us to catch. And Billy, if you could find that little book of Malachi right at the end of the Hebrew Scriptures, look with us in chapter 2. And I'd like you to read just the first two sentences of that verse. Okay. It goes on to talk about some other issues. But there's an important point the prophet makes at the beginning of Malachi 2 and verse 10.
Sure.
The first two sentences.
Okay. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Malachi 2, verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us?
That's it. Have we not all one Father? And has not one God created us? Now, I want to ask a question. How many of you grew up in a culture where it was fully understood that we all have one Father?
Yeah.
Two?
Yeah.
Three? How many of you didn't grow up in a culture where they said, we all have one Father? Half. Aren't we challenged? And it's not necessarily just different ethnic backgrounds, but maybe socioeconomic levels or languages, that we tend to have divisions. We check this box, right? Check that box. But some of you did grow up. Talk to me about that. Who grew up where you really felt like we all have one Father? Anybody? Yes, Gladys? What was it like growing up in your family?
My family, basically my father always said that we are brothers and sisters with everyone around. So there's no distinction between me and my neighbor just because they didn't have what they had. So we always treated everybody equally.
And what country did your father come from?
Dominican Republic.
Dominican Republic. And did you grow up there?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So did you have a diversity of people there?
Yes, we did.
But your father says we're all one family.
We're one family.
All right. Anybody else? Where did someone else grow up somewhere other than the Dominican Republic? Puya, where did you grow up?
Myanmar.
Myanmar.
Formerly known as Burma.
Formerly known as Burma, and your people were actually from Mizoram, is that right?
I belong to an ethnic group called Mizo.
Mizo group, okay. Mm-hmm. And you speak three languages, or maybe more now. How was it growing up in Burma? Was there a diversity, or was it mainly one people group where you grew up?
There was a lot of diversity. We speak so many languages within the country itself, and we have one common language.
Okay.
So it was just a lot of people, and the country, it was under the military government, so we had a lot of problems with the government, and the situations was not always ideal. So we didn't, I could say we didn't really have an ideal government.
No, I'm remembering, and obviously this could be any country, but I'm remembering that even in your homeland, there was some persecution maybe, or some challenges with not everyone viewing
right.
all one father.
No.
Isn't that true everywhere?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, for me, I grew up in the UK, and we had lots of people from the West Indies mm-hmm. and from Pakistan and India. I think I kind of grew up feeling like we were all one family, but maybe we have blind spots too, do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where we say, no, I'm perfectly, you know, perfectly what? Reflecting the character of God, when actually mm-hmm. maybe we may have some blind spots ourselves. Mm. Well, let's take a look at the words of Jesus in John chapter 3. This past week, I heard a testimony of a person who was not a Christian. I won't mention the country, but a being dressed in white came to this person and said, Marcus, read John 3:16. This person was not a Christian. Someone had given him a little Bible by the Gideons. You remember the Gideons that give away?
Yes.
And he went to John 3:16. And he read for the first time what you're going to read for us now. But I'd also like you to read verse 17.
Okay.
And what are the implications of that in terms of recognizing that we all have one Father?
Mm. Yes. Mm. And I'll be reading John 3, verse 16 and 17 from the King James Version of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
So how does that relate to the first verse that, don't you know we all have one Father, that one God created us?
Yes.
What do you hear here in John 3:16 and 17? Stephanie?
It's the same God who came through his Son, Jesus, to die for everyone.
Okay, so it's the same one who's the Father of us all, who sends his
Son,
only begotten Son. Yes, Travis?
It says whoever believes in him. There's not an ethnic cutoff. There's not a stature cutoff. It's whoever.
Mm. And that was a challenge, by the way, in the early Christian church. When they thought it was maybe just for one group. But there's something more in the text. Gladys?
Yes, at the beginning it said, for God so loved the world.
Yes.
It didn't say God so loved this little island or that country. It said God so loved the world.
Right, right. Mm. So there's this sense of the universality of God's love. Yes. Now, there's a difference between the universality of God's love and universality of salvation. Mm-hmm. Because in order for salvation to happen,
we have to accept it.
We have to accept that mm-hmm. God so loved the world that he gave, because it said, whoever
believes
in him, right? Say, Jesus, I believe in you as my Savior. I want to accept your salvation. But that idea, if we would keep in our minds that there's one Father, that makes us
brothers and sisters.
Right. Yeah. And the elderly would be my mother or father or uncle or auntie, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
And the child that is abandoned would be my son or my cousin or my nephew, my niece. Mm-hmm. Yes. That we're all one family if God is our Father. And if God loves all of his children, how does that affect the way we should relate to each other? Let's take a look in Matthew chapter 9 and see how Jesus was impacted. We're talking here about ministering to those in need and living the gospel. In Matthew chapter 9, Jason, would you start our study in 9, verses 36 and 34 of Matthew's gospel?
All right, and I'll be reading from the New King James.
35 and 36.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it is written, then Jesus went about all the city and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd.
Mm. Before we comment on that, someone look at Matthew 14 and verse 14. Evelyn, if you could read that for us. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 14.
I will be reading from the New King James Version, Matthew 14:14. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick.
Mm. Why do you think it mentions it twice, Stephanie? It's like, well, Matthew, you said that already, you know, in what chapter was it? Chapter 9. And now you're telling us again in chapter 14.
It shows that Jesus had compassion, and it was because of that compassion that he acted upon that.
And it's almost like he wants to underline that, right?
Yes. Right.
Jesus was moved with
compassion
even for the least of these. Yeah. Yeah. So do a scan now. Anyone want to start? Think of a story in the ministry of Jesus where you saw compassion in action.
Amen.
Billy, would you like to start? Compassion in action.
What I can think about is when he was dying, when Jesus was on the cross, that he had time, even though it's like nails were in his hands and, you know, he couldn't breathe, yet he could at least whisper a prayer for the people who were crucifying him and the people who were cursing him.
So, you know, one thing I love about interactive Bible study is we come up with ideas we'd never think of by ourselves, right?
Right.
I'm scanning for some great miracle or something. You're taking us to the cross. And anything specific that Jesus said that really showed his compassion for those in need?
Well, what caught me was the fact that he prayed for them. What he said was definitely very important, but the fact that he took time out from before he died, you know, one of his key moments was praying for people who were persecuting him or killing him.
And does anyone remember what the prayer was that Jesus prayed?
Forgive them, for they know not what they do.
For they don't know what they're doing. So that you see compassion in action when Jesus is there on the cross. There's some other ones on the cross too, but we'll keep scanning the story. Tricia Lee?
I think about the woman who was caught in adultery. I think that here's a woman who is, she is guilty. There's someone who is also guilty, but he's not there, but she's there. And he shows compassion on someone who, according to the law, should have been punished. And he meets not just the immediate need of rescuing her, he meets her spiritual need as well by showing compassion on her spiritual condition and forgiving her and inviting her to live a new life. I thought there was compassion because she could have just been openly shamed and embarrassed.
And that story, by the way, is recorded in John chapter 8, verses 2 to 11. Just in case you, maybe you say, I've not heard that story, you can go. It's missing in some manuscripts, but it sounds so much like Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, the love of Jesus in, I like that, compassion in action. I'm going to write that down and remember that. He showed compassion.
Compassion for the guilty.
For the woman and for the the loveless leaders who were trying to trap him and take advantage of her, right? Beautiful illustration. Someone else, Trevor.
So I think it's unusual when it comes to Saul, who then became Paul. I see compassion in that because here's a man that was persecuting his children. So God could have easily said, you know what, we're done, and just taken him out. But instead, there's compassion in that. He opened up his eyes, and look what Paul became. So to me, I think that's a powerful example of showing compassion based on someone who was persecuting his children.
And that's, again, you've caught me just like with Billy. Jumped over to the book of Acts. You know, Saul, Saul, Acts 9, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus. And the compassion in action there, beautiful. Yes, some other examples. Jason?
Yeah, I think about the story about the young rich ruler. It's recorded both in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But Mark really takes a compassionate perspective on it because it said that Jesus looked upon him with love. So in that, it shows that Jesus was compassionate about him and that he wanted him to definitely obey him and to be able to receive the love that God had for him and to be able to just walk that life with Jesus.
You know, Jason makes an important point. Sometimes it's good to read the story in different gospels.
Yes. Right.
Sometimes it will call him a rich ruler, and another place it will call him a young ruler.
Yeah.
And here in Mark, we know Jesus loved him all along, but it says he loved him, right? So there's that. So where's the compassion manifested in his interaction with this rich young ruler? Marcus?
It's the response. The response of
what do I have to do to be saved? And then Jesus goes into more detail. Don't just follow the letter of the law,
yeah,
because you've said that you followed the letter of the law since you were a young boy.
Right.
It's the spirit of the law,
right?
So he was telling him, go deeper. That is how shall we save. Amen. That's where the love is. Yeah,
and of course, he could have, like with any of us, just exposed all of our failings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you say you're keeping the law, but you hate your neighbor or whatever. But he shows compassion. That's a tragic story because we don't know the outcome yet, do we? Mm-hmm. Puya.
One of the places where I find the compassion of Jesus in his ministry was right when he was arrested. You know, when Judas betrayed Jesus. Mm-hmm. And as Judas came with the soldiers, can I read a verse?
Of course you can. What book are you reading from?
Matthew 26, verse 50.
Matthew 26.
Verse 50.
And verse 50. All right.
You
see the compassion in action here.
I see the compassion in action of Jesus here. This was Judas betraying Jesus, coming with the soldiers to arrest him. Mm. Now, this was like his number one enemy disciple. I don't know if that should be the title, but I mean for...
That's an oxymoron, enemy disciple. But someone claiming to be a disciple, but actually taking the position of an enemy, right?
Mm-hmm. Traitor.
Yes. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Matthew 26, verse 50. And Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? This is interesting for me because even right at the moment when Judas betrayed him and was about to be arrested by the soldiers, Jesus called him friend. That is compassion in action.
Powerful.
Wow.
Travis, you have another example. By the way, why are we able to come up with these different illustrations?
Because Jesus was living the gospel.
Yeah.
Well, first he was living the gospel, and secondly, we read the book, right?
Yeah.
You know, people say, well, I don't know that. Well, that's why we should read the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And people ask, they say, Derek, where should I start? And I say, start with the Gospels.
Yeah.
Start with the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are synoptics. They kind of have the same picture. John has another perspective, but all of them help us to understand Jesus. So
Amen.
I just want to encourage you and those of you watching with us today to read the Word of God because the Holy Spirit will bring it to our remembrance.
True.
One last story before we move on.
I want to just build off what Jason had talked about with the rich young ruler. The compassion, I believe, went deeper than that because the disciples were confused that this guy couldn't inherit the kingdom. And they're like, how can anybody, if he can't be saved, then how can anyone be saved? And Jesus has an interesting response. And he says, well, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. We think that's rich young ruler, he's done. But God, Jesus said, it's possible for that man
it
to be
possible.
Saved.
Sure.
And it was like, whoa, we never read it that way, you know. But that rich young ruler, it was possible through God for him to be saved.
Amen. And one can only hope that as he's walking away, he may have overheard.
Yeah.
With man, it's impossible, but with God,
all things are possible.
That's compassion in action, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Let's look at a couple of actual incidents where Jesus shed some tears. John chapter 11. I used to like this when I was little because it was short verse.
Short.
John 11 and verse 35. Gladys, do you have that?
Yes, I do.
John 11, verse 35. Read the verse. It's not that long. And then give us the context.
Well, I'm reading from the New International Version, John 11, 35. Jesus wept.
That's it.
That's
okay,
it.
Two words. The context is?
The context is that the life of Lazarus and his sisters. He was sick. He died. Jesus delayed his coming. And now the sisters are in a very sad state. Why Jesus was not there. And when he came in, he wept. That was his friend. He showed the love that he had for them.
Mm-hmm. Both Mary and Martha said, Lord, if you'd been here.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Lord, if you'd been here. Now, I don't think they were angry with him, but they were grieving.
Yes. Yes.
Lord, if you'd been here, right? Now, Gladys mentions one reason why Jesus may have shed tears, and that was his love for
Lazarus.
Well, Lazarus is dead at the time. Oh, you mean grieving because
grieving.
His friend's dead?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. How about tears for Martha and Mary and their sadness?
And their pain.
Is there any other reason why he might be weeping?
their unbelief of the crowd, mm-hmm. maybe that they didn't fully comprehend his mission.
If you read the end, Marcus, of the chapter, mm-hmm. what do some people want to do after he's Lazarus is raised from the dead? Some believe, and others
didn't believe.
They don't believe.
Not only do they not believe,
they want to kill him.
Right. And I think you're right, Gladys. This, oh Father, I pray that all would believe.
Yes. Mm. Right.
And he's weeping because not only will they not believe, but they want to silence him.
Right.
Yes, Marcus.
And if you read further in the chapter as well, when Jesus is saying in verse 39. Jesus said...
Give us a moment so we can find it.
Right, so John 11, verse 39.
Because this whole chapter is not just about Lazarus, it's more about Jesus.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
The resurrection and the life,
right? Right?
Take a look at verse 39 for us.
So it says, Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Verse 40, Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou would believest, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" And I say that to say that Jesus is going to perform a miracle here, mm-hmm. but yet there is still unbelief from his sister, mm-hmm. Lazarus' sister, Martha. Mm-hmm. So even like while Jesus, mm-hmm. while the Lord is going to work through Jesus, there's still some the closest people still didn't believe.
By the way, she does believe in the resurrection because she says, I know he will rise in the resurrection at the last day.
Right.
And Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Right? He's going to do something special. Mm. But I like what you said there, Marcus, about compassion in action. Jesus could have said to Martha, go to your room.
I'm about to work.
Yeah, I'm about to work. And you obviously are not have enough faith to be here. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. But he allows her to even help, right?
Right.
Help roll away the stone. Where is he? He asks them, where is he? He could have done that all by himself too, couldn't he? Mm-hmm. So this beautiful picture of compassion in action, we see the tears shed for the family, but also for all of the other people who would not believe, right? Mm-hmm. Let's look at another time when Jesus shed some tears. In Luke chapter 19, Jason, you could read verse 41. Jesus is weeping over an entire city. Yeah. What does it read in, how does it read in your Bible?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Luke chapter 19, verse 41. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it.
Mm. Addison, any idea why he's weeping? This is toward the end of his ministry.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Jesus could look into the future, and mm-hmm. he knew that if there wasn't a change in the hearts of the people in that city, that there would be a destruction mm-hmm. that would come.
In fact, he prophesied that, didn't he?
He did. Mm-hmm.
And it happened how many years later?
70.
It was
about 40 years after the prophecy, right? A little mm-hmm. less, maybe, but in 70 A.D.,
that's right?
Right? Yeah. The city is destroyed. Is that why he's weeping, Stephanie? I see it's still a little quizzical look on your forehead.
I believe that he loved every one of his creation. And he knew that not all were going to accept. And I think that was the biggest thing that caused him to be sad.
Yes.
So not just the fact that the city will be destroyed, the temple in ruins.
No.
But just heart longing
for
the salvation of even the people who are condemning him.
Yes,
Travis and then Gladys.
He was just, Jesus had come as the fulfillment of everything that his people had been looking for. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he knew very soon that their eyes were going to be closed mm-hmm. to that. They were missing out on their opportunity. Their eyes were going to be closed and it just rent his heart. Yeah. He couldn't bear the thought that he was going to go to the cross and they were not going to believe in him.
And unfortunately, you said everything they were looking for. They were looking for a Messiah, but not the kind of Messiah that he was, right? At least not all of them. Not all of them were looking for. They wanted what kind of Messiah?
A conqueror.
Earthly, military, conqueror type of Messiah. So we're getting a picture here of compassion in action. And it goes way beyond just the chosen few.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He's loving everyone. Most of us didn't grow up in that kind of environment. So the question I have is, who helped you? Maybe it was someone right in your own family or someone else. Who helped you to comprehend and begin to experience the immeasurable, unfailing love of God? Well, if some of you say, it was my, I hear Haiti, you know, Haiti's on our team. I hear Haiti saying, my mama. You know, praise God, some of us, it was someone really close. Evelyn, who helped you begin to understand and experience the immeasurable, unfailing love of God?
For me, it was my uncle. One summer, he invited all of the youth of summer camp to go out and pray. And every night, he had us praying for about an hour. He said, even if you run out of things to pray about, sing a song in your head or, you know, try to think of anything that glorifies God. And by him pushing us to do that, it was something I had never taken the initiative to do for myself. And that was something that really bridged me to God. That summer, I understood the gospel. I said, you know, God wants us to take upon his yoke, and it's not a strain. It's because he loves us.
How old were you at the time, Evelyn?
I was 17.
17 years old. And which country was this happening in?
It was the US? Here in the U.S., West Virginia. US.
In Virginia? In
West Virginia.
In West Virginia. Mm-hmm. Praise God for an uncle who said, how about taking an hour to pray every evening?
Every night, yes.
A glimpse of the immeasurable and unfailing love of God.
Amen.
Maybe someone else will say, I think I need to go out in the woods. Right?
Yes.
Someone else who helped you, Jason, catch a glimpse of the immeasurable, unfailing love of God.
Well, for me, it was God himself. I can remember I was on a bus and I was driving by a church and I saw a sign. It said, God is speaking. Are you listening? So that caught my attention right then and there. And as the week went on, there was a friend who invited me to a church and he said it was going to be a prophet there. So I'm saying, this is God going to speak to me. And I went to that church event and that prophet did not come to me nor near me. He didn't say anything about it. So I'm like, what happened? Like, I thought God was going to speak to me. But it was the following week that I went to my home church and they had asked people to come up to the altar, and I came, and an individual was just speaking life upon people as far as, you know, what God is going to do. And the one thing that the lady, when she came up to me, she said, God loves you. And that just melted my heart when she said that. And then it dawned on me, God is speaking. Are you listening? So God just showed me his love, you know, and I was blessed to be able to hear such a thing.
And by the way, the prophets have spoken right here.
Yeah.
So when someone comes and says God loves you, I can look at my Bible and it says God so loved the world, and I'm in the world. Yeah. So I'm included in that promise, right?
Amen.
So it was a church sign while you were riding a bus.
Yeah.
Helped you to catch a glimpse
of
the immeasurable, unfailing love of God. To have some more to share. Gladys.
My father is a pastor, and even though I grew up, I don't think that I learned from his study, but more from his life. You know, he was the only Adventist in his family, and the way that sometimes they treated him because he was Adventist, you know, it was just so mean that I felt like he should defend himself. He just tell them off. You know, he was so humble and meek in their dealings with him that one by one, his family members started coming to Christ. And I was just like, wow, it just caught me off guard to see how leaving out the gospel, not just taking the Bible and beating people in the head with it, will bring people to God, but just loving them and accepting them as they are. It really impacted me as a young person.
I don't know of anyone who actually hits people over the head with the Bible.
Not literally.
I suppose some could, but the way we talk, right?
Yes.
We feel like we're being beaten up rather than finding a word of the immeasurable and unfailing love of God.
Yeah.
Well, we've seen how Jesus was a reflection of the immeasurable and unfailing love of God. Let's talk about how he wants us to live the gospel. Mm-hmm. That is to reveal his immeasurable and unfailing love to others. John chapter 1, verse 43 is another of those short verses like Jesus wept. It's a short message, Tricia Lee. It may have a few more words in your verse there, but there's one key instruction. Talk to me about what it means. John 1:43.
Reading from the New King James Version. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, And he found Philip and said to him, follow me.
So what does that mean? Either Tricia Lee or someone else. When Jesus says, follow me, who does that mean? Does that mean I'm going to Capernaum now, walk with me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
could it mean that? Or what does it mean, follow me?
Well, from my reading of the word and study of a little bit of the context and the background, it comes to my mind that during that time, mm-hmm. a lot of people did not have the opportunity to study mm-hmm. or follow a rabbi mm-hmm. or a teacher. Mm-hmm. And so, and when in Jesus coming and inviting them to follow him, it was like giving them an opportunity to change their life, to do something meaningful, to learn from him.
So would you say follow me could mean let me be your teacher?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Maybe more?
Right. Yeah.
What else besides let me be your teacher? Marcus?
Also, too, Jesus is basically inviting them to listen to his words, to live the life that he lived, and then to unite in the work that he had set forth.
So I like what Marcus just said. It's more than just let me teach you how to live. Mm-hmm. Let me
show you
mm-hmm. how to live. Yeah. Addison?
I was just going to add on to that. It's dealing with, you know, Christ's example, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're to follow his example.
Let's look in 1 John. John's the one, you know, the beloved disciple. In 1 John, a letter he writes to Christians, chapter 3. Evelyn, do you have that and could read verses 16 and 17 for us?
I will be reading from the New King James Version. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Jesus lays down his life for us, mm-hmm. literally, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. He died for our sins, Scripture says, according to the Scriptures. What does it mean that we lay down our lives for, who's the brethren? is that anybody?
Yep. Yes.
Is that particularly those within the church or
everyone.
Out the church? Who's the brethren?
Everyone.
Well, if we're all part of the family, we all have one
father.
Have one father. The brethren is?
Everybody.
Brethren and sisteren, if there is such a word, right?
Yes.
Brothers and sisters,
yes.
right?
Yes.
What does it mean to that we would lay down our lives, Jason, for the rest of our human family?
It means when we look at our life, we don't look at it in sort of a selfish way, what can this do for me? But we look at it as a way to serve others. When you see everyone else as your brother or sister, you're not going to value your own self more than them. And so if someone has something in need and you have more, you help them out. If someone may be going through an emotional struggle, you might help them out. It basically means seeing other people on the same equal level as you would see yourself, since we are all children of God.
Yeah. And how is that possible? Go to Ephesians with me. It's a miracle, right? Ephesians chapter 2, because the human heart is selfish, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Without the transformation of the Spirit. Mm. Trevor, could you read for us Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 talks about how we're saved. Verse 10 tells us what God wants to do with those who are redeemed. And it ties in with what Jason just shared with us.
I'll be reading from the New King James Translation, Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
All right. Amen. So you've been talking about how we follow Jesus mm-hmm. by showing his love to others. And how did we say that's possible? Mm-hmm. What did we just hear?
By grace.
By the grace of God, right? In fact, it is God who does that in
yes.
us,
that's
right?
Amen.
I like that verse where Paul says, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
I love in verse 10 that it says that these works were created in Christ, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Sometimes it's intimidating to think that we have to do all this ourselves or the responsibility falls on us. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, God is already working in the lives of other people before we come in contact with them. We're just participants in a big, grand plan that the Lord has. And so sometimes a little that we do or say is just, it might not be the first interaction that person has had. The Holy Spirit is already working in that person's heart, so it's fertile and receptive. Even if we don't see it at that moment, there is God that is already working beforehand, before we show up, to make our efforts more fruitful.
You know, some people get very nervous when they hear the words good works. Yes. They're like, oh, you know, legalism, you know, earn your way to heaven. But let's look at another verse which talks about good works in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. And verses 14 through 16. Addison, if you could read that for us. The good works is not to earn anything from God, and it's not to impress people about us, is it?
No.
Let's see what Jesus says in Matthew 5, 14 through 16.
Sure. And I'm reading from the King James Version. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
So if it's working correctly, when they see the good works, and we might say that we are following Jesus.
Yes.
What's the result? They will
glorify our Father.
Yeah, doesn't that glorify us, right?
No. Right. Glorify God.
Jesus said, when you do things to get attention, you have your reward.
Right. Mm.
That's all you get is the attention. But if they glorify your Father in heaven, then what do? Use my favorite Hebrew word, right?
Hallelujah.
That's right, because as they turn their eyes towards the immeasurable, unfailing love of God, their own lives can be changed too, right?
Yes.
See our good works, glorify our Father in heaven. Living the gospel. Talk to me about a follower of Jesus in whom you've seen the gospel lived. Someone in whose life you've seen the gospel lived out.
When you asked the story about the previous question, about stories, I thought about my mother. She's someone that will, wherever she's going, if she sees someone in need, she'll stop. It doesn't matter what's happening, she'll stop. And growing up, I used to always be the one, the youngest of three, that was doing all the errands with her. So I'd always be so confused, like, don't we have things to do? Like, why are we always stopping anytime we see someone? But
I mean, this happened more than once.
Oh, yeah, this is what she does. She just stops. She's just like, you know, as a child. But the one story that particularly stands out wasn't when she stopped for a person. It was when she stopped to help a creature. And this was a kitten that was making all sorts of noises. I guess its mother had passed away and it was left. And in my mind, it'll stop eventually. I mean, there's no mother. It'll just, you know, pass away or something. But she took me and was like, gave me instructions, get this supply, get that supply, get this thing. And we are washing this kitten. We're trying to feed this little kitten. We're cleaning it up. We're all this grime and gook. At this point, there actually were some bugs starting to eat the kitten. So we're picking bugs off of it. It was terribly gross to me. But
how old were you at the time?
At that time, I think I was 11.
Okay.
The whole time, my mother was, she was singing hymns and giving me instructions. And I'm like, are you serious? But what I realized in that moment was that this little helpless creature was worth her time. And even though she didn't know what would happen, I'm thinking this is a goner. Like, the cat is not going to make it. It was worth her time investing in trying to help this creature live. And I always remember that now. I'm many years older than 11. But I always think about, is someone or something worth my time, even if they look wounded to the point of, you know, of death? The kitten did eventually die. It didn't make it. But I realized that for her, it was worth the effort. It was worth the effort to try.
Wow. Someone might say, what is taking care of a kitten got to do with living the gospel? And the answer is
everything.
It's got everything to do with it. Because if you'll care for the least of these, you might even care for a homeless woman or abandoned child, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Someone else, an example, Travis, where you saw the love, the immeasurable, unfailing love of God revealed in a person.
There was a gentleman in Wisconsin. He was an elder in a church. And I got to be friends with him just over the last 3 or 4 years. And we started going on mission trips together. And this guy, no matter what he does, he just goes out of his way. His name is Jeff. And he just goes out of his way, whether he's working, whether he's on vacation, wherever it is, he's always blessing somebody with his works. And I remember that we're in the Philippines working. People are falling under the tree from sun heat stroke. We're pouring concrete, and he's at the brink of heat stroke, and he's singing hymns, pushing wheelbarrows of concrete. And it just was inspiring, and he continues to be inspiration to me over and over every day when I when I see what he's doing. It's just the guy.
Does he watch Hope Sabbath School?
Yes, he does.
Hopefully he heard that story, and he didn't do it to be reported on Hope Sabbath School, right? Just like Mom didn't do it to be reported. Why did they do it?
Love, love of God and
compassion.
Love.
It's compassion in action, right? They're followers of Jesus. Stephanie?
I think it's a connection. They have a connection with God. And therefore, that connection, it flows through them. And they can't help. It's just, as the verse said, let your light shine. It just comes out.
It just happens.
That's right.
Someone else, well, you've seen that today. Gladys?
Yes. Besides my father, I have a youth pastor in my school that she comes all the time. And it's like a real person. You know, you always hear people tell you, I'm going to pray for you, you know, but when she says, I'm going to pray for you, she actually stops and prays for you. And then she sends you a text and says, I'm praying for you. And she stopped by my classroom and I just came to check on you. I'm still praying for you. And I just love how she lives out what she says she does. You know, it's not just a pastor that comes, hey, cool things, cool programs. You know, it's just, she's real. I just love that about her. She comes and asks my children, my students, she says, what do you guys need today? Oh, we need a basketball to play. Next day she comes, brings a basketball. That's kind of, she's, interacts with the children. And I just love to see how the love of God just flows through her.
Wow.
That is living the gospel.
Yes. Amen.
Now, again, don't get mixed up and think that's how we earn God's salvation.
No.
That's a gift of grace.
Amen.
But if we've entered into the love of God, it will affect the way that we live. Now, I'm going to ask you a question about a time you were given the opportunity to reveal the immeasurable and unfailing love of God. And it may not have been something you planned. God may have just put it right there in front of you and you went, really? Okay. A time when God said, okay, I'd like you to reveal my immeasurable and unfailing love. Anybody have an example to share? Jason?
Yeah, it's a gentleman by the name of Danny Stewart. He's homeless, and he's on he stays on one of the bridges where I pass by work. And I was just thinking, drive one day, like, man, I wanted to do something for him. I didn't have really much money. But it just so happens the next day I did come into a little pocket change. And when I was making some breakfast, I actually made some oatmeal. And I was like, I'm going to give him some oatmeal. So I actually drove that morning to work, and I saw him. But it was a green light, so I couldn't stop. So I turned all the way back around. It was just pulling on my heart, and came back around and parked the car on the side of the road and got out and said, hey, Danny, I got something for you. And I gave him a little bit of pocket change and some food. And I said, I pray it blesses you in a special way. He just looked at me, and he was cold, and he was smiling. It was like 26 degrees outside. And he was smiling, and he said, thank you. And my heart was very warm. And I stood there for a minute to talk with him a little bit just to get to know him. And then I was on my way. But, man, it was a blessing.
Amen.
The oatmeal was warm.
Yes.
And your heart was warm.
Amen.
Amen.
Because the Bible says when you give, it's given back to you. Pressed down and running over. Right?
Over.
So living the gospel not only blesses other people. Right? Marcus?
Yeah. So I had an experience. I live in Baltimore. And I became part of a program to mentor young men. And so I went to the school, read to them. A lot of these young men, they have issues at home, and a lot of them don't have a steady male figure in their life. So mm-hmm. by reading to them and actually spending time with them, it was mm-hmm. like an investment, and they actually appreciated it because it was like a male figure to look up to. Mm-hmm. And just giving them just a little gift or something like that, it brightened their day, and mm-hmm. I'll never forget that. And just by giving, like Jason said, it warmed my heart and it warmed theirs as well.
Praise God. Praise God.
Beautiful examples. This, I'm going to give a couple more chances to share. After one verse, Billy, if you could read for us from Revelation chapter 14. This is more urgent because from an understanding of the scripture, we're living in the time of the end. Mm-hmm. We're living in the time of the judgment, actually.
Yes.
So there's this sense of urgency that if people need to see the gospel lived, it's now.
Amen. Amen.
Not only to bless them for time, but for eternity.
Amen.
So let's hear that message in Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 and 7.
Okay, I'll be reading from the King James Version. Revelation 14, 6 to 7. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters.
So this is an urgent message, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. crying in a loud voice, reverence God, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Fear God, give glory to him. By the way, we give glory to him by living the gospel.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
That's
yes.
right. Yeah.
We give glory to him
mm-hmm.
by reflecting the immeasurable and unfailing love of God.
Amen.
Aligning our heart with the heart of God. We give glory to him.
Yes.
Right? And worship him, creator.
Yes. Yes.
We have one Father and one God who creator of all, right?
Yeah.
So again, give me another opportunity God gave you. By the way, this is not to promote you, right?
But
to say, God, you use me
to
reveal your immeasurable and unfailing love. Someone else have another example. Travis.
I'm doing Bible studies with some folks in the city near me, and just before I came to film, one lady sent me a text message that her sister is in the hospital. And I'm getting ready to pack my bags and come, and I thought, boy, I need to pray for this person, but I need to know their name. So I text her back and asked the name, and she gave me her name and her hospital room number. Mm-hmm. So I thought, I have one chance to go and be a witness to this lady. So we got some flowers, and my wife wrote a nice card, and I went to the hospital, and when I walked in, she started to cry immediately. Wow. And I started...
Did she even know you?
She didn't even know who I was. The lady that had texted me had told her about me giving Bible studies and invited her, but... So I started telling her about Jesus and making conversation, and family and friends came, and pretty soon her friend is crying next to the bed, and she says, I'm here for a reason to meet you today because I'm going down a wrong path and I need help. Wow. And I ended up kneeling down, and praying with both of them. And she had tears coming from her eyes, and we're going to do Bible studies.
Amen.
So, it was amazing. So
God
I'm excited
good.
To go and share the unfailing and immeasurable love of Jesus with
Amen.
Her.
Yes. And then the Lord says, now I want you to go and film Hope Sabbath School and tell them what that looks like.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we'll certainly pray for those people. It's like a domino, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see that. Another example of God giving you an opportunity to share, Billy, the immeasurable and unfailing love of
God. Yeah, Jason reminded me of, when I was back home, it's very cold, and I was passing by, just, walking, doing my business, and I saw this guy who was homeless, and usually I have, a dollar bill in my pocket. And then I said, I'm just going to give him that dollar bill. Turned out that dollar bill was $10.
Oops,
and
wrong note.
I pulled it out, and I couldn't put it back in, and he's looking at me. So I just give it to him, and he was shocked. Wow. He was so shocked. And he says, oh, my goodness, I got to do something for you. And he had a box of pizza. He says, you want some pizza? And I stopped for eternity just thinking about, should I get that pizza? But I remember Jesus, he shared meal with people who were the least of these. So he didn't just give them, he also received from them.
He ate with them.
Right.
So
this man welcomes sinners and eats with them.
Right.
Mm.
So maybe, did you take the pizza?
I was hungry. I was hungry. I grabbed that pizza. And we had a good conversation. I didn't even think about hygiene at that point. I said,
Lord, please keep me safe.
Exactly. I love pizza, so he knew. So we shared that meal, and he was so happy.
You know, accepting a person, we may not accept all of their choices.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But Jesus accepted people.
That's right.
And that accepting of a piece of pizza from him probably meant a lot to him.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That you weren't just kind of paying him off somehow.
Right.
Well, yeah?
I just wanted to comment on the verse that we just read from Revelation. I find it interesting is that this urgent message that God wants us to know is called the everlasting gospel.
Yes.
You know, if we read through Revelation, of course, we see the beast and the tribulation and the times of troubles and all of that. But all of that came after the everlasting gospel. So I think here we see the love of God. The first thing that God wants every single person on this earth to know is His love.
Right.
Mm. Amen.
And you know what I'm hearing from my study today, He doesn't just want us to proclaim the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to
live
the gospel. Right. And what a difference that would make. Mm-hmm. Takeaway lesson from the study today. Evelyn, what's the most important lesson you've learned today?
I believe the most important lesson I've learned is that, you know, the more I know God, the more that I receive His love, the more willing I am to love others in the same way, no matter who they are, just like what you said about sharing food with someone that was homeless. I mean, that never even crossed my mind to spend time like that with someone. You think maybe just giving them money is enough. But
the next time you take out a dollar bill and discover it's a 5 or a 10, just remember Billy and say, well, do it to the least of these.
Amen.
Jesus said,
Amen.
You've done it to me.
Amen.
Living the gospel, what a challenge that is. What a privilege that is to live the gospel. We're created for good works, the Bible says. It's God letting His immeasurable and unfailing love shine through us. What a privilege. I just want to pray for you where you are. You have a circle of influence, as each one of us does, that God would bless you to share His immeasurable and unfailing love as a sacrifice of praise for all that He's done for you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, what a blessing to study Your Word today, to be challenged to live the gospel. Thank You that we see that so clearly in the life of Jesus. And He challenges us also, follow Me. And I thank You that You'll give us opportunities day by day to live the gospel, to reveal Your immeasurable and unfailing love. And we thank You that all glory and honor will go to You because You alone are worthy. And we will praise You forever. In the name of Jesus, amen.
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 Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. Go out and be a blessing to those around you.